Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
You know, I made a decision to follow Jesus Christ when I was 20 years old at the preaching of Pastor Greg. He was preaching on the sower of the seed parable, and I was actually invited by a girl to go to church. And I end up marrying her, Diane. And yeah. But I was raised in a Christian home and just did a prodigal thing for, you know, junior high through my sophomore year of college. And at 20 years old, recommitted my life and was going to Harvest in Riverside. It was called Calvary Chapel of Riverside at that point, but it was Harvest. And about, we got married and we did the things that we all do. You know, you get married, you buy a house, you get a dog, you have kids. And Tiffany, my daughter, was 4 years old. And we were invited to a midweek Bible study, just like we're doing tonight. And Diane was invited to Wednesday night to virtue study. I was invited to a midweek Tuesday night study. It was called Men's Bible Fellowship at that point. It's 25 years old. We were both 25. And I remember going and signing up for it, and just the fear that kind of came across me when they told me it was every Tuesday night for 8 months. And I was thinking, how am I going to sign up for something and be committed to every Tuesday night for 8 months? And I started thinking about this. I don't know, man. I have a job where I get up early. I was getting up before the sun came up, and I was working late. I was a route driver. I was delivering potato chips at the time. Laura Scudder, you can't just eat one, right? And Diane was working for Vaughn's grocery store. And, you know, a lot of things going on. We were, you know, there was midweek softball. Of course, you have to have midweek softball, right? There was, of course, after work surfing. There was things going on, right? So Tuesday night, how can I commit to a Bible study every Tuesday night? And I just really felt compelled by the Lord to sign up, take a step of faith, and sign up for this midweek study on Tuesday night. And so I signed up, and quite honestly, for 10 years, I was there at every Bible fellowship on Tuesday night. And yeah, then that's not saying anything to me. That's saying that God was faithful, because I didn't think I would be able to do it. And hey, we had more kids, and we took on more things, and, you know, coaching girls in softball, the Blueberry Bombers, don't remember, you know. But life was going on, and I was wondering, how am I going to do this? How am I going to make this commitment? And God was faithful. Tuesday night was on his schedule for me. And I believe Tuesday night is on his schedule for you tonight. And he knew long before I did that I needed to be there on Tuesday night with the guys tonight. God has led you guys here tonight. I believe you're compelled. God has spoke to your heart, and you're here for a reason. It's not like random chance. There's a purpose in this. And I fell in love with the studies. I fell in love with the discussion over God's word, the application, the structure. And listen, sometimes we shy away from structure when it comes to our faith, huh? We think that our faith is supposed to be organic. It's supposed to be, oh, God's, you know, cosmic universe is going to just somehow, we're going to catch it by osmosis. But faith is organic and it's academic. We need to get into God's word. We need to study God's word. And we did that. So we all need structure. We need guidelines. We need accountability. My first group leader was a Sparklets man. And I remember going, and he would come to work in his Sparklets uniform. He worked hard all day. He made it just in time with his study in hand, ready to lead his group. I saw a postman in the back come in with it. There, he's got his hand up. He came from work. I love that. And we went through God's word together. And today, that man is actually a pastor at Harvest. He was the first staff member of Harvest Crusades, the first director, and now a pastor, Mike Brazil. And he's a great friend of mine and still has had an impact on my life. But you guys are going to be in groups with leaders who have been praying for you, who have been cultivating a love for you through prayer and are going to care for you and are going to help guide you through God's word. And you're going to grow together. Together we're going to grow as the church. Isn't that exciting to think about? We're going to grow together as we go through God's word. And you're going to get out of this study what you put into it. You know, the Bible talks about he who sows little will reap little, and he who sows much will reap much. And what you put into this year, you're going to get out of it. Your ROI, your return on investment is going to be great if you apply yourself to it. And it's true that we grow because we want to grow. You know, that's biblical. We grow because we want to grow. And I believe everyone here tonight wants to grow in their relationship with Christ. That's why we're here at a midweek Bible study. And we should never be satisfied or feel like we've arrived in our faith, right? Never be satisfied or feel like we've arrived in our faith. And our spiritual car shouldn't be like in the driveway with a dead battery. You know, there was a lady, Henrietta Mears, years ago, and she had an impact on Billy Graham and Bill Bright, who actually started Campus Crusades for Christ years ago. Henrietta Mears was like this older lady who impacted these guys. She used to have this saying that she would say to the college students. She'd say, "God can't steer a parked car, so get moving." And that's how it is in our lives. You know, we need to keep going forward in our walk with God, in our growth, in our relationship with him. We need to keep moving. I love the fact that this church is on the move. You know, we are part of a church, you guys, that is really on the move. We see these Harvest Crusades. We're a part of them. We've got a team that just, I look out and I see faces, people who are in Atlanta. Of course, Pastor Greg. You know, people are hearing the gospel. We're reaching people all over the place. Pastor Greg is plowing through God's word every Sunday, every Thursday. He's going through Revelation. He's going through the heroes of the faith. You know, we're going through God's word. And this study right here that we're going to be going through is really about us applying ourselves to God's word. You know, Pastor Greg will come and he'll give us the strong medicine, right, that we need. We can count on it. Sometimes he even spoon feeds us a little bit, huh, when we need that. But he teaches us what we need to know. He reminds us of things. But this is about us applying ourselves to God's word and really getting in and digging in. And the Bible says in Acts 2, we're to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and the breaking of bread and of prayers. And that's what we do. We're learning together. And this V2 series that we're going through on the life of David is really going to be amazing. When you think about David, our subject matter, and the title of our series is called Honest to God, David, Profiles of an Authentic Life. Profiles of an Authentic Life. And David had his highs and lows, didn't he? His rags to riches story. David lived out his heart. He was a great success, but he was also, well, he had some great failures, didn't he? And we see that. He was a brave warrior, yet he defeated a giant. He acted like a crazy man to save his own life. He was a faithful, true blue-collar worker, a shepherd boy, right, out in the fields, a blue-collar worker. Yet he was the executive. He was the king of Israel. God had his hand upon him. He was a singer, songwriter, a worship leader. Yet he was a complete jerk in that he pursued a married woman and then had that man killed. I mean, think about that. That is terrible. He was the husband of a father. He loved his kids, but he struggled with being a godly husband and a godly father. He wanted to be. He was a great friend. He was a loving son and a brother. And his life is a paradox, isn't it? When you look at him, his life is a paradox. David is perfectly illustrated in that Michelangelo sculptor, right? You guys familiar with that? There it is, part of it. Exposed. His life is exposed for us. You know, Alan Redpath, who was a friend of Pastor Greg's, he's with the Lord now, said this: "The Bible never flatters its heroes. It tells the truth about each one of them in order that, against the background of human breakdown and failure, we may magnify the grace of God and recognize that it is the delight of the Spirit of God to work upon the platform of human impossibilities. Isn't that what God did in the life of David? Incredible. But can you imagine God telling your story? Everything exposed. It's like, thank you, Lord, for not doing that, right? David is an example for us, and he was the man after God's own heart. And I think that all of us, we want to learn about David, right? We want to learn how he loved God, how God worked in his life, how to be a man of God or a woman of God, learn to be a Christian. But more importantly, in these studies, we want to learn about God, right? We want to learn about more about how God operates, how God works, who he is. And we're going to be learning about that as we study the life of David. You know, tonight, Tim, we sang some of his songs in worship, and Tim wrote, three of those songs, and one of them was Everlasting Way, which Tim actually borrowed from David. And it was kind of, I don't know if he stole it or maybe just artistic collaboration it was, and it's a great song. And when you think about the world's great songwriters, I mean, this is an old poll, like Irving Berlin. Hey, he wrote some good ones. But then you have people like Elton John and Bernie Taupin and Joni Mitchell and Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys and, of course, Lennon and McCartney. And, well, people say that Bob Dylan is the greatest songwriter. I say right here, David is the greatest songwriter. He wrote an awful lot of psalms, songs about God. And tonight I want to look at quickly, briefly, in Psalms 25, one of his psalms, if you guys want to turn there, Psalms 25. And let's read this. Psalms 25, David says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let those who wait on you be ashamed. Let no one who waits on you be ashamed, and let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause." And I'm going to give you five T's. He's going to be quick. Five T's in this passage, in this verse. David cries out his trust is in God. He says, "My God, I trust in you." David trusted in God in good times and in difficult times. He trusted in God. He took on, obviously, Goliath valiantly. You know, David also, it tells us he killed a lion and a bear. That's trusting God. I have a friend who actually took down a bear with an arrow, an archer. I was thinking, what if he misses? I guess you saw the remnant, right? I guess that's what happens if you miss. But David trusted in God, and all through the Word of God, all through his Psalms, and as we're looking at his life, we're going to see that he trusted in God. In fact, he said, when he took on Goliath, he said, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." I love that. That's better than Braveheart. "I come to you in the name of the Lord." He put his trust in God. And we are going to come across times, even this year, where we're really going to have to trust in God. We're going to have to trust in God at our workplaces. We're going to have to trust in God with our marriages, with our kids, with our finances. We're going to have to trust in God with our ministries. We're going to need to trust in God. And we're going to be learning this year about trusting in God. You know, Charles Stanley, who has a church in Atlanta where we just had the crusade, said that 95% of his messages are to show us that we can trust in God. He's a pretty good preacher. But all of us need to grow and know more about the trust, about trusting the Lord. David says here in the psalm, he says, he lifted up his soul. He lifted up his soul. When we lift our hands to the Lord, when we praise the Lord and we sing worship songs, we're lifting up our arms to him. David actually says, "I'm lifting up my soul to you. Here it is, God. I'd have to trust you." And that's something that we need to continue to do every day, every week, every month, saying, "Lord, I'm lifting up my soul to you," not just my hands. We see your hands, but God only sees our souls, huh? But that's something we need to do. And David did that. He lifted up his soul because that was internal, and that's what God sees. And you may need to do this even right now. Maybe there's an area of your life. You just need to trust in him. Lift up your soul to him. God is trustworthy, and he won't fail us. And we're going to be learning more about that. But even tonight, we can trust in God. Let's keep reading here. David says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, and on you I wait all day." David here reveals his desire, his need to be taught by God. Second T, to be taught by God. He cries out, "Lord, I don't know. Show me, teach me, lead me." And God wants to do that with each and every one of us. Isn't that great? That we can call out to God and he wants to show us and teach us and lead us in our lives. God just doesn't say, "I'm going to save you, now go figure it out." He comes alongside us and he teaches us by his Spirit through his word. Some of you may be here tonight because God spoke to you through his word and said, "You need to get into my word." Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Or maybe it's another verse. You're here because God spoke to you through his word. I was a Valor leader in Riverside years ago, and back when the economy really kind of hit the skids, and I was a carpenter. I couldn't keep a job. I went from being a chip man to a carpenter. But I'm kidding. But anyways, the economy got really bad. We couldn't get any work, so the company I was working for signed a contract up in Oregon. Not in the nice months up there, up in the winter, like November, December, January. And it was like the worst winter of all time, but I had to provide. I was praying, what should I do? I didn't want to go up there. I am from California. I don't want to go to Oregon. And I was praying, and God actually brought a verse to me out of Numbers, when Moses sent Joshua and Caleb into the land and said, "Go spy out the land and really see what it's all about." And I just, that word just kind of hit me. Like, okay, well, I guess I better go check it out. So I went and checked it out, and I worked up there for like 3 months. And I wouldn't say that I really enjoyed it all that much, but hey, we kept food on the table and we kept the family, all the provisions God provided, but it was for a season. But it was the word of God that came to me at a time. And God will speak to you directly through his word. He's not ambiguous. He'll speak to you through his word as you get into his word. Obviously, I came back home, praise God for that, to California. But God will teach you and show you and lead you through his word, and that's very exciting. David keeps on in this verse 6. "Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice. The humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." The third T. David never forgot he was a sinner and a saint, but he always ran back to the tender mercies of God. That's what he says there. He says, "Remember, Lord, your tender mercies." Look at the way David describes the Lord here in this verse. He calls him merciful, loving, good, upright, truthful. And that's what God is 24/7, all the time. Our enemy wants to drag us down and beat us up because of our sin, but God wants to forget and forgive our sin. God wants to forget and forgive our sin. And the enemy wants us to feel like God has forgotten us, and the only thing he wants us to remember is our sin. But God wants to forget it and forgive us. And David, he committed some big sins, yet he always went back to the Lord and the tender mercies of God. Charles Spurgeon said this: "It is the mark of a true saint that his sorrows remind him of his sin, and his sorrows for sin drive him to his God. Drive him to his God. Listen, don't let your sin, no matter how great, keep you from reaching out to God, because he's reaching out to you through the nail-pierced hands of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, reaching out and saying, I want to forgive you. I want to forget your sin and put it behind you and move on. And the enemy will say, no, no, he'll keep wanting to bring it up. But we keep running back to the tender mercies of God. Amen? Amen. David trusted in God. He desired to be taught by God. He ran to God for tender mercies. And he also acknowledged and really recognized that and cried out for God to prosper him and cause his life to thrive. I had to stretch on this one. Thrive. He wanted our lives to thrive. Read this, verse 12. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the ways he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity. One more time. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So David prayed to prosper and to thrive. You know, and it's really true that God wants to bless us. God wants to bless each and every one of us. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to thrive. But he does that in the context of our relationship with him. In the context of our relationship with him. As we're trusting in him. As we're being taught by him. As we're relying on his tender mercies. God will cause blessing in our life. In our work. In our ministries. In our parenting. In our friendships. In our marriages. God wants us to prosper. I love that. It's his desire. God's not wanting to hold anything back. He wants to bless. I don't read TMZ or People magazine, but I think we've all heard about, you know, Brad and Angelina Jolie, and they're on the road to divorce. And of course, you would think, why? You know, they have fame and fortune and, you know, all these things and philanthropy, and it seems like they had everything, right? We were all like, well, they got married. That's great. All right. They're on the right path. But then it's reported that Brad, among other things, smoked too much pot. Why does Brad Pitt need pot? I mean, it seems like he pretty much has everything, but Brad need to go and, well, all I got to say is Brad doesn't need more weed. He needs wheat. W-H-E-A-T, the bread of life. That's what he needs. But it's really true that God wants to prosper us. He wants to bless us. But sometimes we go out and around his will to try and find blessing, to try and find goodness, to try and find profit or prosperity. And God says, stay in context with me. Stay in my blessing. Stay in my word. Stay in fellowship, stay in obedience, stay in that place of mercy and forgiveness, and God will prosper us. And that's the best place. That's the only place to be. And last, verse 15, David calls upon God during trials, during trials. He says in verse 15, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look on my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with a cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. You know, sometimes trials will come, the net, the troubles. And for some of us, they're going to come this year. And some of you are maybe already going through trials. You know, God will deliver you. God promises to deliver us from the net, from the snare. But we are going to encounter these trials. I'll tell you what, when you commit to God, when you say, I'm going to come to Bible study on a Tuesday night, don't be alarmed if a trial comes. Because the enemy is always looking to give you a back door. Go out this way. You don't need to do that. Your troubles are too big. Run this way. And the reality is God wants to minister to you through this study, through this group, through your groups. You know, years ago, I keep going back years ago, but and I shared this with some of the virtue leaders that back in 1989, you know, we were, Diane was expecting, and we were part of groups. She was in a group. I was in a group, Valor Group, Virtue Group. And Tiffany was 4 years old. Tiffany, 4 years old. Now she's part of Virtue. Now she's, you know, part of the leadership with Virtue. That was a long time ago. But so Diane's pregnant, 9 months. We're waiting for this baby to come. And we get the call that, you know, there's some things wrong with some of the sonograms and things like that. And we go to the hospital. And our son Dylan was delivered. But Dylan only lived for 4 days. And this was between Tiffany and Taylor, and Dylan lived for 4 days, and it was horrible. I mean, it was just like you. Some of you may understand, you know, the pain that goes on with that. But it was a big trial. But let me tell you this: the way the women in my wife's virtue group came alongside her, and ministered to her, and encouraged her, and lifted her up, and I know it was God working through them and in them, was amazing. And you know, the first guy that came to the hospital was my Valor leader, Mike Brazil. I remember standing out in the hall, in the hospital, wondering what. Diane was in the hospital because she had a cesarean. Dylan was in a Loma Linda because it was a crisis. And I'm standing in the hall thinking, I'm a 25-year-old kid wondering, what am I supposed to do here? And I look down the hall, and here comes my Sparklets man coming down the hall to minister. And I just was like, praise God. And you know, this year, some of you are going to go through trials. And here's the thing. Stay connected to the church. Stay connected to your group. And God will bless you and encourage you and pull you along. And the other thing is, he's going to use some of you to encourage others. Because many of you have been through trials. You've been through those difficult things. And God's going to use you to come alongside others. Amen. Isn't that great? All right. Well, let me wrap up with this. It's going to be an exciting year studying the life of David, but learning about our God and learning how we can trust him and learning how we can rely on his tender mercies and knowing that he's going to teach us and knowing that he's going to be there through trials and knowing that we can thrive in our relationship with him. And I'm excited about that, and I hope you're excited about that. And I hope, like I said, Pastor Greg said, that tonight isn't your last night, that tonight is your first night, and in a few months, 6-7 months, you'll be able to look back and go, God was faithful. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us, and we thank you that as a church, you've brought us together, and not only are you impacting the world through our church, but you're impacting us in our church as we get together and we get into your word and we draw close to you and we draw close to each other and we want to grow. We want to know you better. And we pray that this year you would do that in our lives. And you know what? Tonight, maybe you need to say that prayer yourself. I'm going to pray. Let's just pray together. Why don't you guys stand up? Let's just all pray together and ask God to bless this Tuesday night and ask God to make that opportunity for us to even attend on Tuesday night. Why not, right? Let's go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we stand here tonight and we thank you for this church that we can stand here and just love you and love each other. And Lord, this night, Tuesday night for V2, we pray that you would allow us all to attend most of the nights, maybe some of us all the nights. Open up those doors. Even when we've got so many busy things going on in our life, we pray that Tuesday night would be on your schedule for us. And then Wednesday for the ladies. And Lord, that you would cause this church and all of us individually to grow in our relationship with you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.